Good morning and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Tuesday, February 10th. Today we've got three stories, and the first one needs most of our time because it's going to affect your wallet. Last week, the United States and India announced what might be the biggest trade deal of the year. You probably saw the headline and kept scrolling. Don't. Underneath the handshake is a geopolitical swap that almost nobody is talking about. Then, a quick one on why the weather is about to get weird. And we'll close with what your morning coffee is actually doing to your brain. Let's get into it. So here's the context most people are missing. The United States currently has the highest average tariff rate since 1946, 13.5% on all imports, according to the Tax Foundation. Businesses absorbed about 80% of those costs in 2025 by shrinking margins and stockpiling inventory. But JP Morgan says that ratio is flipping. In 2026, up to 80% of tariff costs could land on consumers. You're going to feel it in furniture, electronics, coffee, and groceries, especially cheaper products, which Harvard's pricing lab found saw price increases roughly double those of premium goods. Thinner margins mean less room to absorb the hit. That's the world this India deal walks into. On February 6th, the White House released a joint statement with India, followed by a fact sheet on the 9th. The headline numbers: India's tariffs on American goods drop. U.S. tariffs on Indian goods go from 50% to 18%. India commits to purchasing $500 billion in American products over 5 years, including energy, aircraft, GPUs, and agricultural goods. India eliminates its digital services tax and opens its market to American medical devices. Now, most coverage stopped there. Here's where Higher IQ goes deeper. The real currency in this deal isn't tariffs. It's geopolitics. According to reporting from multiple outlets, part of the agreement involves India committing to reduce or stop purchasing Russian oil. That's enormous and largely underreported. India is the world's third largest oil importer. As of January 2026, they were buying more than 1 million barrels a day from Russia, making Russia their number one crude oil supplier. If India actually redirects that purchasing to American and other Western sources, it fundamentally reshapes the global energy map. It cuts a major revenue stream for Russia's war effort, and it has downstream effects on oil prices everywhere. But here's the Higher IQ take. This deal isn't really about trade. It's about alignment. The United States is using tariffs as a sorting mechanism. Lower tariffs aren't a reward for good trade behavior. They're a reward for geopolitical loyalty. Cut off Russia, buy American energy, align on tech, and we'll let your goods in at a reasonable rate. India understood the assignment. They signed deals with both the US and the EU within the same week. That's not a coincidence. India is positioning itself as the alternative to China for global supply chains, telling both hemispheres, "We'll be your new factory floor, but you have to let us in." Now, where does this hit your life? Four places. Generic drugs. India manufactures roughly 40% of the world's generics, and this deal reportedly moves tariffs on them toward zero. That's direct downward pressure on prescription prices. Energy. If India actually redirects 1 million barrels a day away from Russia, it rebalances global oil flows and affects gas prices. Electronics. India is getting 20-year tax exemptions for data center construction, making it a cheaper node in the AI infrastructure supply chain. And the broader tariff picture. Every bilateral deal like this is a pressure release valve. The more countries that negotiate down, the less inflationary pressure builds overall. But here's something worth keeping in mind about all of these tariff deals, not just this one. When you hear that India committed to purchasing $500 billion in American products, that language is doing a lot of heavy lifting. These are purchase commitments, not purchase orders. India is signaling intent to buy American energy, aircraft, and technology. But at the end of the day, if an Airbus is cheaper than a Boeing, or Russian crude is $30 a barrel less than American oil, the economics don't disappear because of a joint statement. Countries commit to buying from each other all the time. Whether the actual procurement follows depends on pricing, availability, and whether the political moment that produced the deal still holds in year three of a five-year timeline. That $500 billion number is a ceiling, not a floor. And the enforcement mechanism isn't a contract. It's the tariff rate itself. India gets 18% instead of 50% as long as the relationship holds. Fall short on purchases, and that number can go right back up. But we have to be honest about the tension here. Nobody is telling the same version of this deal. Trump says India agreed to zero tariffs and will stop buying Russian oil. India hasn't publicly confirmed either claim. Russia's Kremlin spokesperson said India made no statements about stopping supplies. Oxford Economics called some of the claims unrealistic. There are real legal questions about whether the president can even finalize binding trade agreements without Congress, especially as the Supreme Court reviews the legality of his emergency tariff powers. And India's own opposition parties are criticizing the deal as too favorable to the U.S., particularly around agriculture, which touches 42% of India's population. So you've got a $500 billion handshake where the two sides aren't telling the same story. That might be the most higher IQ thing about the whole deal. In the tariff era, the announcement is the product. The details come later, or they don't. Quick shift. If the weather has felt unpredictable lately, here's why. About 12 miles above the Arctic, the polar vortex is breaking apart. Not the way cable news uses that term, where it just means cold. The actual polar vortex is a band of fast-spinning air that normally sits over the Arctic like a lid, keeping the coldest air contained at the top of the planet. Right now, a sudden stratospheric warming event is weakening and splitting it. Multiple meteorological services confirmed this in early February, with models showing the vortex splitting into two lobes around February 15th. When the vortex breaks, the cold doesn't push south in a clean wall. It spills. Meteorologists describe the pattern as spilled ink, irregular tongues of Arctic air lurching into random regions. Some places get hammered. Others, a few hundred miles away, stay weirdly mild. What makes this one interesting is that a tropical atmospheric wave called the MJO is currently shielding parts of the central and eastern U.S. from the effects. That's why you might look outside and think, what polar vortex? But that shield weakens by late February, and the broken stratosphere should reconnect with surface weather. The bigger reframe, we tend to think of winter as a season, a block of cold months. But what's increasingly happening is a shift from seasons to pulses. Think of it less like a freezer set to the right temperature and more like a freezer with a broken seal. Warmer on average, but when the door swings open, the cold that falls out is intense and chaotic. Let's end with something fun. New research out of Japan offers a completely new theory for why bitter foods like dark chocolate, red wine, and black coffee might be good for your brain. The study, from Shibara Institute of Technology, published in Current Research in Food Science, looked at flavanols, the compounds in cocoa, berries, tea, and red wine. The prevailing assumption has been that flavanols benefit the brain through antioxidant effects in the bloodstream. Get absorbed, reduce inflammation, good things happen. This study says that's probably not the main story. Flavanols appear to activate the brain through the act of tasting them, before they're even absorbed. The bitter, astringent sensation on your tongue triggers a specific neural pathway called the locus coeruleus noradrenaline system, which is your brain's alertness circuit. Mice given oral flavanols showed more exploratory behavior and improved learning and memory. Brain analysis revealed heightened dopamine and noradrenaline. The researchers compared the neurochemical response to what happens during exercise. Caveats: this is a mouse study. The exercise comparison is neurochemical similarity, not equivalence. Nobody is saying green tea replaces a run, but the idea is genuinely new. We've assumed bitterness is a warning signal. Your body saying spit that out. This research suggests the opposite. Bitterness might be a wake-up call. Your tongue sends a signal directly to your brain's arousal system, flooding it with the neurotransmitters that sharpen focus and learning. The taste itself, not the chemical once it's in your blood, is doing the work. So the next time you take that first sip of black coffee and feel like your brain just flickered on, it's not just the caffeine. The bitterness itself might be rebooting the system. That's your Tuesday. A $500 billion deal that might reshape what you pay for drugs and gas if both sides are telling the truth about what they agreed to. A polar vortex splitting apart while a tropical wave masks the impact. and a theory that the bitter taste of your morning coffee might be a direct line to your brain's focus circuitry. Three invisible forces shaping your day. Stay informed, stay curious. We'll see you tomorrow.